You are listening to Words with a Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. Coach Sess. Coach Sess. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. Coach Sess. Coach Sess. You are listening to Words with a Mad Coach.
What's up, Mad World? Coach Sess. Checking in after Fight for It 20. I'm going to do a short recap. I don't have all my notes. I don't have all the video. But I can talk about the vibe. I can talk about the energy. I can talk about the people, the production, the online production, the venue. But, you know, I think for once, let's talk about the issues. Let's talk about the problems. Let's talk about what didn't do well in the midst of everything that was going on and how it still turned out to be very good show. Very good show. And so that's a good promising sign for the future that we can still have problems and get through them and still put on a good show. And, you know, I guess you, anytime you have a problem with any organization, you start with the head down. And so in this particular case, I am talking about Marcelo. Marcelo had some faux pas. Marcelo went to as many people and coaches that were aware of a situation, involved in the situation, and he owned up to it. I think he did a good job in explaining the reason why he did what he did. And I do think that the best approach for anybody who's trying to be a leader in the company, a leader in your house, a leader in the industry, a leader anywhere, if you're trying to fulfill that role, you have to take ownership of it. And the one thing that you don't do is bury your head in the sand. It won't go away. You know, being able to talk to so many good coaches last night, and I got that vibe of they had that same mindset just in their gyms. You've got to take charge. You've got to take charge. Marcelo made a mistake. He owned up to it, and he's going to keep doing whatever he needs to do to fix it. There was a mistake with the online feed. They're going to keep moving forward to do whatever they have to do to fix it. A lot of you haven't lived in the age of the times when shows like the UFC were in development, and they couldn't do everything that they wanted to do. They had to fall back to some rule changes. They had to fall back to pay-per-view companies not giving them the rub or not allowing them to put on their product. This is real, folks. This is real. That's what makes the difference between living today in the social media world where everything can be manipulated, falsified, versus people who have actually gone through these times. We've seen the ups and downs. And what you get good at going through these ups and downs, you get good at solving the problems. It's not going to make everybody happy. And that was my advice to Marcelo as a friend, as a consultant in a sense. I like bouncing things off of Marcelo. I think he and I do a good job of that. I have ideas and he has let some of them slide through. He has good ideas and I've said, you know what? That's a better idea. Let's go with that one. Look, you're not always going to get it right. And you're not going to make everybody happy. I heard the comments by, there was like five fights that got canceled. And one of the comments I've heard was, well, that team will never be back. Well, let me tell you how this works. I know that in the past, when I've had issues with certain promotions, I've just decided to fight through it and go. Because there was a time when I thought I had the absolute best team. And one day I decided to get into my feels and I said, we're never coming back here. And I thought about it. I said, well, what if we don't? Are they going to miss the best team? No. You know why? Because when you're gone, that playing field is going to level up some again. And it's going to be some other best teams. It's going to be somebody who takes the place where you left off. And that's just the way it works. It's evolution. Would love to have you keep coming back. But The organization is going to move forward. The organization is going to move without you. Think about pro wrestling, WWE, when Bret Hart left. WWE did just fine without Bret Hart. Yeah. They should have never screwed him in the beginning. But they eventually worked it out, and he came back. But they didn't die. They didn't go out of business. So don't put yourself in a position where you feel like you don't want to be a part of it, because it's going to keep going without you. But what I would love to see is that you come to some kind of resolution between whoever you have your issues with, whether that be Marcelo, whether it be the overall company, even if it's the overall industry of mixed martial arts, you're just tired of it. You know, as long as I've been alive, there's different points. I'm just tired of combat sports in general. But then I found my way coming back. The thing that you do is you reconcile and you figure out what is your avenue that you can perform best in. And you set the terms. You say, okay, from now on, coming back into this situation, this is what I'm going to do. And when you break those rules, again, I'm out for good. I'm out for good. Not sure why we lost 5 fights altogether, but still had a very good show with 20 fights on the card instead of 25. Some of those matchups I really wanted to see, Ethan Blevins taking on Gutierrez. Man, that would have been fun. But we had some substitutes. We had some nice substitutes. Mark Foster and Arzmakov. Oh, my God. We'll talk about that. That was super fun. Super fun. I love that fight. And the main event, of course, Paris Artis and Jonathan Martin. We saw Jonathan Martin become the 155 champ for Fight For It, his second professional title. I know some of you don't think too much of titles, but let me tell you, your second title, your second professional title, this is really a monument that helps you move closer and closer to that goal of making it to a big league. Now, I know the big league usually represents UFC. They pay the most. Well, let's put it out there. But there's so much new conversation happening with other shows like PFL, who absorbed Bellator, won championship. There's money on the rise, you know. So the difference, a lot of those companies, they can match certain monies at certain levels, like in the beginning or in the middle of your career, whatever. What sometimes they can't do that the UFC does a little bit better is the exposure. And you see that with their TV rights. And you see that with the streaming platforms that they're on. Like they're on ESPN. Who's better than ESPN? Honestly, you can say ESPN sucks. You can complain about having to do so many streams, but they're the best at what they do. And so even locally, you know, Fight For It is the premier. It is the bigger mixed martial arts show that you need to tie your name to. And so Jonathan Martin picks up that title. So it's very important. If I'm Dana White or anybody looking for Jonathan Martin, and he hasn't owned, you know, the kingdom of where he lives, I would be suspect there. I'd be like, well, you're not even the king of North Carolina. So why would I want you on my show? Because if I ever needed to, you know, bring a show to North Carolina, you couldn't hold the audience. You know, Brian Battle's done that. And that's my point, is you're doing all of this to build. So many people keep getting confused about winning fights. Well, yeah, you can win fights, but if you're not winning with activity, if you're not winning against good competition, then that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Yeah, you can take your fighters and not let them fight against tougher opponents, not on good shows, but it's going to hurt you in the long run, depending on what you're trying to do. You know, there are some people out there that are pure martial artists, and all they really want is just opportunity to build their curriculum, their style, their art, and they're not looking at the wins and losses. They're looking at the results. And that's a great thing. That's amazing. They're not looking at any financial reward at the end, any titles, any evolution. They're looking for nothing but, hey, we tested this out, and this is what we found, and they want to publish the results. That's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're talking about getting to the next level, there are steps you have to take. A lot of times when I see things that go wrong inside of gyms, it's in the organization part, not the punches and the kicks. Talking to some of the fighters who actually lost last night, and they just weren't feeling good about themselves. They just weren't in a good position, and they were thinking about making changes, and they didn't feel like things were going right for them, and were a little confused about what do they do next. I played this clip the other day, and I want you to listen to it. I'm going to help you break it down. This is Brent Childress before the fight, and I'm going to tell you about something we talked about after the fight. Check it out.
Yeah, the guys are up. We're feeling good. We're feeling ready. We're confident, and we're excited about this weekend in Raleigh for Fight For It. We got six of us coming from 4M that are ready to put their name out there and showcase their skills and take every advantage of their opportunity. This weekend, some of them have been waiting for months and months for fights, and some have been matched up with fights and kind of fell through, and now they're finally getting the opportunity, so it's really, really excited. I'm really excited for them to get out there. We got a lot of debuts. We got some guys coming off of debut wins. Noah, he had his debut win with Fight For It a few months ago, so he's ready to get his second dub. And then we got Hudson Reynolds, who's been training consistently for probably about a year, and just waiting on his name to be called, being patient. So he's excited to get out there and fight against a more experienced guy. I think his opponent is 1-0, so that's going to be a really good fight to look at. And of course, mine is always going to be exciting. I feel good. I feel confident, and I'm ready to get back out there. Yeah, it should be an exciting weekend in Raleigh, and I hope to see everyone out there. Hope to see you out there. Maybe we can get a live interview going or something. And I would definitely like to be on your podcast, and I'm sure some of the other guys from the gym would like to as well. So, like I said, I appreciate you reaching out, and hope to see you there this weekend, sir.
Okay, so Brent didn't have a great night, and he was in there against a guy from 8 Points Muay Thai. Now, recently I was at Lightning Strikes, and the 8 Points guys, they were monsters. And one of the areas where they were devastating, inside of the clinch. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not using the clinch, and it's within the rule set, you're cutting down on a majority of your fighting tactics. And so you need to be using the clinch inside the gym so that you can learn to defend against it at a minimum. The best strategy in knife fighting is learn how to use the knife. There's no magic way to stop the knife other than, hey, I'm going to learn how to use it so I can personally understand the ins and outs, the things to do and don't do, what to look for, what to avoid. The clinch is a knife. The clinch works the same way. You have to know what to avoid inside of that clinch. You know, even if you're not going to use great knees and elbows yourself, you have to know what to avoid, what to look for. Look for the setups. Look for the angles that are starting to happen, things you may become vulnerable to. And so that was one area that I saw when Brent in his fight, is that he should have been moving forward. And a couple times he tried to move backward. And that tells me there's a lot of things in his training that were more instinctual. And sometimes you got to train to the point in the gym where those emotions are kind of reined in a little bit, and you stick to what is more technical, developing your fight IQ. Sometimes the things that you're asked to do in fighting are counterintuitive to the human body. They are counterintuitive, but you've got to stick it out. You've got to stick it out. So Brent and his team, they didn't have the best of nights. They did have one, I think he mentioned his name a minute ago, but I forgot it already. But he had one teammate, him and his opponent. I think he was fighting De La Cruz, but they had a really good fight. They had a really good fight. I actually told him at the end, hey, I said, hey, man, don't hang your head low. Very good fight. You got to remember, the wins and losses aren't as important as amateurs as the performance. The way I want you to look at your amateur career is like this. It's like being on a major league team, and that the promoters, the matchmakers, even some of the other coaches, they are like scouts. And they're looking for certain qualities. They're looking for people that can handle certain things, do certain things, move forward, you know, being able to change their game plan when there's chaos, when knowing how to carry yourself even in the face of defeat. You know, let's say you're two rounds down. They want to see, well, how do you fight in the third round? They want to see the character of the athlete, the character of the person. So it's not always about wins and losses, because it's the way you win and that you lose. The way that you win and lose. Because if you have guys who have a lot of wins and they raise their hands, they celebrate, but they always fight easy competition, then how do we measure that? How do we truly measure that? It's hard, and you can't. But the night started off 3 o'clock was the slated time for the kickboxing, but it actually started roughly 30 to 40 minutes a little later, and I'm not particularly sure why that was the case. I don't think there was a major issue, but it was just a little late, and I did make a few notes, and here's my notes on just the opening of the show.
Okay, Mad World, they're getting ready to start the first fight of the night, and it looked like it's a boxing match. Immortales MMA has one competitor. I don't know how many they actually have on the actual card itself, but everything is getting ready to get started. The setup is a little different than what I'm used to. A lot of officials. A lot of officials for MMA and kickboxing, almost separate. Plenty of staff helping the promotion. But it's a pretty interesting setup. Still not quite sure on the flow and the feel of it, but as soon as they get it all figured out. I'm not sure where the fighters are. I saw them come downstairs. Oh, I get it. Now they have a staging area. And then they'll announce the name and their music. But it's all in one location. As big as this place is, they could have actually separated both areas and have the fighters come in from different entrances. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, the setup was good, like I said, and some of the things that could have been different was it was hard to find the building for a lot of people. I think the next time there might be some pointers. And right now, because of the number of people that were there, I think the word will be a little easier because they'll say, well, now I know where to go, where to park. I was all over that place. I didn't realize that we're on the fairgrounds. And so there was a lot of activities going on. And there was nobody at any of these gates to point the direction. There was nobody at any of these gates that actually knew where anything was. I had to park my car and actually go to walking. I was even walking around with one of the state commission people. And I absolutely found a cop who pointed me in the right direction. And it was simple from that point. Once he gave me the simplest direction, water tower, building in front of the water tower, boom, it was really super easy. But the name of the building in relationship to the other buildings, actually it's the front of the building, but it's turned sideways. And that's why I was having such a hard time. And there was no numbers on it, like an address, I guess, because you're in the location. I guess if they needed mail dropped, it would be dropped at a central location, but it was just really hard to find it. But eventually we got it together. Very big, big crowd, especially for the MMA. I really thought that the teams did a good job of informing their fans, getting them to show up. I saw the hoodies. I saw the shirts. I was impressed. I was definitely impressed. I want to work this a little bit backwards. I want to start with the main event, and let's talk about that. Let's talk about Jonathan Martin. Let's talk about, you know, what this means. And I was able to get some words in with him and his teammate, Shamik Harvey. So I'm going to play a little bit of a clip. This is pretty much me at the end when the show was over. So I'm working it in reverse. So this is the show over, and I'm waiting for Jonathan to come back to the dressing room, which it didn't take long. You know, sometimes when I'm in these dressing rooms waiting for the fighters to come back, you know, these guys are taking a long time. I didn't get a lot of interviews, but I did talk to a lot of fighters, and some of it stuff was so emotional, man. I was like, I'm not recording this, because I remember what they were saying. And to me, those are special private moments. And I'll talk about something they said conceptually, but I won't point anybody out. Not my style. So this is me at the closing of the show, and I get to talk to Shamik Harvey.
Well, Mad Coach is wrapping up with Fight For It 20. Sitting here in the dressing room all alone. And waiting for the fighters to come back to the dressing room. Jonathan Martin just defeated Paris Artis by clear unanimous decision and is the new 155 champion for Fight For It. And the fight was pretty much one-way traffic. It was Jonathan Martin pretty much with Paris had spots where he was able to hit, land some shots. Very strong defense, but it was definitely one-way traffic on behalf of Martin. And he did catch Paris with one shot that wobbled his legs. Paris went down, but he was able to recover. And but at that point, it was still ground and pound coming from Martin and Aries just defending. And as we all know, you pretty much can't win fights on defense. Wasn't sure what the corner team was trying to tell Paris, but if I go back to round one, what it seemed to be missing was the tendency or the willingness to strike with Martin in the middle to avoid the grappling, to actually change the complexion of the fight. And every time that he did maybe possibly land a good combination, execute a good combination, he ended up falling in, going to a clinch or going to a takedown. And the problem with that is Martin was always there with the secondary movement, but able to bounce back to his feet, went down, bump up, reverse the position. And this is something that, you know, all athletes need to work on, is that second, third follow-up and the follow-through. Martin did it professionally. He did it expertly. And he continued to do it throughout the entire fight. Artis was at times, you can almost say, lethargic. Pretty much sometimes you might make the argument that he didn't have a game plan. And he was trying to make it up as he goes along. There was one time when Martin had his back and Paris spun as if to do a reverse elbow. It didn't land. There were some elbow shots throughout the fight, but nobody was really hurt by them. But at the same time, you have to think these things have to be aggravating because, you know, these are big arms, big forearms caving in, you know, from a downward position. So pretty much one-way traffic. And when Martin was on top a lot, one of the things he did so well was just initiate pressure without losing his position, rather than take the risk of doing something big and crazy. He did a good job of controlling it. And Artis just didn't have an answer for that type of grappling, that pressure style. He was waiting for Martin to make a mistake so he could counter it. And that's a tough game to play, you know, for five rounds. Pretty much Coach Dazee had the right strategy. The strategy worked. He studied Paris in detail. And I said earlier with Dylan McGrath that Paris has always had trouble with guys who are skilled and slightly taller, and in some cases slightly larger. Now, does that mean Ari should be shrinking down to 145? Not necessarily. However, there should be a little bit more delicacy in choosing the proper opponent at the proper time. One of the things that makes a difference is when you look into the corner, Carolina Combat Sports had the usual faces. It was Tom Ziegler, it was Shamik Harvey, Motzinger, Taco. They had the usual faces. And there's something to be said about training with a consistent group for a long period of time. I was talking with Coach Zach Mullins earlier, and we talked about a coach getting to know your cues over a longer period of time, getting to know the things that aggravate you and knowing how to augment your training and also put you in a different position. And being able to make those on-the-fly adjustments because you know each other so well. Hey, I got Jonathan Martin coming in. I was wondering, Jonathan, when you get a chance, go ahead, take care of your business. Shamik, I know you got words. You always got words. Come on over here, Shamik. No, this ain't about that, Shamik. This is about the fight. Yeah, just want to get your perspective, I'm going to let Jonathan get over here, but until then, I got Shamik Harvey. And Shamik, tell me, how did the fight look? What did you see going in, and what did you see midway and then toward the end?
I felt like Jonathan was much better everywhere, much better striking, much better grappler, much better wrestler. Jiu-jitsu standpoint, got his back multiple times. On the feet, hurt him with a right hand, I believe. Takedown defense against the cage was good. I think it was just an overall dominant performance, and a performance against a guy that was highly touted, and that performance should get him a shot on the Contender Series this upcoming summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. There's a point where when you get to – in one area, when you get to a point where there's an apex, you have to fight the next best guy, and then you've got to pull yourself out of that area. And you needed someone who was able to challenge you to validate everything that you're doing, everything that you're saying, everything that you're believing in, and then it shows up. You know, it's now not just words, it's actual proof. Give me your take on the overall feel of the show, Fight For It this time around.
Fight For It shows are always good. I came up on a Fight For It show. Brian Battle came up on a Fight For It show. Jonathan came up on a Fight For It show. So it's always good. It's local. Marcelo does a good job. Josh Crouch does a good job. Jonathan Stamey does a good job. And then we get fair matchups, all right? We get fair matchups against good guys. They don't give us any favors, but it's still fair matchups. And we always show out. We always bring a crowd, and we always sell tickets.
Yeah, let me not apologize, but let me make a statement and say, I didn't know you was this good on an interview. I might be reaching out to you a little bit more often. I want tomorrow, but I got the commission looking at me. But Shamik is good on an interview. I didn't know he was this good on an interview. shoot. So what is the next move for you? I'm going to give Jonathan a little bit more time. What's the next move for you?
Next move for me, June 16th, down in Houston, Texas, fighting for Fury against a game opponent. That win should definitely propel me to get a Contender Series, and hopefully me and John get on the Contender Series in the summertime, preferably on the same card. That would be legendary. and it'll be good for our gym as well. But first things first, I got to take care of business June 16th for Fury.
Tell you what, you still got a contract with them, the three-fight contract? Jonathan's got a contract?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Oh, yeah, flexibility.
Yeah, it's flexible.
Then that makes you make
what I like.
Yeah, you want to work for them now. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put this on pause, and then I can talk to you guys outside.
Okay, so Tamara with the commission, and she was just asking us to get out of there because they've been there since 10 o'clock and they can't leave until the last person or coach or anybody affiliated with the show. Anybody who had credentials given to them by the commission, they're kind of responsible. And so they want to be able to go home, shut that area down. So went downstairs back into the venue where they were taking down the cage. Jonathan was hanging around. Marcella was hanging around. I got to talk to Tom Ziggler. And, you know, some of these private moments, you know, especially with the guys that lost, man. Isaiah Monroe was upset in his defeat to George Copa. And I think one of the commissioners or inspectors was saying, hey, he broke something, you know, which could be a fine for him. You know, depends on, you know, what the owners of the building have to say about it. Depends on what the promotion has to say about it. But this is behavior you have to watch. Behavior not needed. It's behavior that can get you into trouble. It's just pain in the ass. Don't do it. Vent all you want, but don't destroy property. So, you know, when you have these emotions, man, you really got to like find a way to express them differently or rein them in, save it for later, so to speak. And that's why you need a real team around you, like not just bodies, people who know you. And, you know, this is one of the things that to me that I brought this up in the interview. I said, I just feel like Carolina Combat just has a stronger feel when it comes to real, a family-oriented style for their team. They know one another. Elevate Matrix has really become strong in that aspect. So I see that with the teams that I've started to mention, there is kind of this bond amongst the teammates that kind of gives them an edge. And it's not just people hanging out. It's really a real bond. It's not cliquish, because cliques can be bad, because you can have multiple cliques inside of a one gym and it doesn't mean that they're on one accord. It doesn't mean that they are, you know, clicking together, so to speak. Play on words there. But let me go to the interview with Jonathan Martin, talk about his win and his insights about the fight.
All right, Mad World. Last interview tonight, I got Jonathan Martin.
Yes, sir.
Just coming off a win. He is the new 155 champion for Fight For It, taking on Paris Artist. It was a 5-round decision. It was a grueling fight. Jonathan, tell me about it.
Very competitive fight. I think going into the first round, I would say that Paris got that first round. I talk to people all the time. It's like the fight's never going to go exactly how, you know, you picture it. And the biggest thing is, are you able to adapt, you know, in the middle of the fight and switch things around? And I did. I was able to do that. I mean, the dude's tough. I mean, there's a couple of times I caught him, and we knew coming into the fifth round that he was going to try to come and take my head off. You know, he wanted it bad. But, he's a very game opponent, very tough dude. And I'm glad to have shared the ring with them. I mean, I got a lot of respect for them and their camp. And I think this fight was hyped up, and it was everything that it was hyped up to be. You know, I think we're the top two active lightweights, you know, in North Carolina right now. And I think we just put on the show and proved why we deserve to be the main event.
I absolutely agree. And I thought the timing of this fight, I was telling Dylan McGrath earlier, timing was perfect. I think if you waited one more year, would have lost that timing.
Exactly.
Going in the opening round, you looked a little cautious at first. What were you expecting? What were you looking out for?
He was quick. I knew he was going to come with some single naked kicks, we like to call it, by itself. Sometimes I do that. You know, I like to throw kicks by itself. He's quick. He threw them. A couple of them hit the glove. I don't want to say, no disrespect, I didn't really feel power from it. But he had some snap to his kicks, and he's got some power too. You know, I think there's, after the fight, I took my mouthpiece out and I was moving my jaw around. I was like, oh, like, he's a stout dude. He's a strong dude. He's got some pop to his in his hands. But it's everything I expected it to be, honest.
What were you thinking with all the grappling exchanges and some of the positions that you caught him in? And what were you thinking when he was able to defend?
I want to say that I knew there's a couple of times when I was going for the rear naked choke. I was like, I knew in the back of my head, I was like, this dude, he's not going to lay over and just tap. I knew that there's a couple of times I wanted to get that squeeze. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to burn my arms out because I didn't want to. I knew that I've seen him in that position. And I've been in that position before where I know that he can get in that position and stay calm. You know, he's very poised. And like I said, I didn't want to blow out my arms and jump the gun. And then he just reversed the position and go from there. So there's a couple, like I said, a couple times I had his back. I wanted to go for it. And I was like, I think it's just the experience. I was like, no, let me get a position over this because he's a tough dude. I knew he wasn't just going to lay over and tap.
In the training camp, how exhausted were you? In the training camp, how mentally exhausted were you? In the training camp, how many of those days did you just want to say, Tom, another day, another fight?
Yeah. In the training camp, man, I'll tell you this. When we first were setting up the fight, this is funny. At first, I think it was going to be a 3-round fight. We were talking about it. It was going to be 3 rounds. And then coach was like, you know what? Maybe we can do 5 rounds. He was like, you know what? They want to do it for the champ. And I was like, oh, that's going to be nice. And then I was like, this training camp is going to be crazy. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I want to do the 3 rounds. But I've been in a 5-round fight before, and it just pushes you to another level. You know, I wanted to test myself. I was like, you know what? Those Saturdays where you're doing 5 rounds, and coach over prepares us. There's times I did 6 rounds, you know, not just 5 rounds. He's going to push you. He's going to be like, all right, let's get that 6th round in. He'll surprise you. And I think that paid off in the training camp. You know, it's like all the hard work I put in going into this 4th and 5th round. In the back of my head, I'm like, I've been here before. I've done this with fresh opponents, with fresh sparring partners. So I'm more than prepared for this.
Outstanding. When you first made my radar, I knew your name, but I didn't know you, and I was glad to meet you. But it was Brian that put you on my radar because I said, hey, Brian, now that you're in the UFC, I said, you know, everybody leaves home, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, well, who's the guy in your gym that gives you problems? Who gives you that push? And your name came up.
Okay.
So Brian gave me your name, and that's how you got on my radar. So then my question to you now is, do you feel like you're ready for that stage?
Oh, yes, 100%. I feel like I've been in that position just training with Brian, and it's like, man, I'm hungry, man. I need it. This is something I dreamt for as a kid. I dreamt about this, and I feel like I'm more than ready, and I want that shot. I'm going to keep going until I'm undeniable. They're going to have no choice but to get me in there.
I heard Dylan say something about, was it the Ultimate Fighter or the Contender Series? You might be on that. Any legitimate?
Nothing legitimate, but on the horizon with managers and stuff where it's definitely in the talks of, you know, making that Contender Series push. So.
Well, I'm going to just leave it there. Congratulate you again. Outstanding performance, and I hope in the future I reach out and we can still chop it up behind the scenes. Tell that friend of mine named Brian Battle, now that he's all big time, he don't do interviews with coach no more, but I respect his time too. You know? But man, you did a good job. Keep it up, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, Seth.
You guys keep working.
Good night, brother.
Do the same.
Okay. So Jonathan, you know, he shared some insights about that fight and gave credit where credit was due. At certain moments, you know, Paris is able to land this. And the issue was just not enough of it because Jonathan was able to specifically dominate the fight more so in the grappling range, in the contact range. I don't usually refer things by art styles, but in terms of what's actually happening in the contact range, he kept that, he kept that contact and didn't let Paris separate from him as often over the course of 25 minutes. And that was the key. That was the secret. Don't give Paris that space. And the one punch, I found the replay this morning, the one punch that he did land on Paris, it was like a check hook, but he was stepping back and he stepped his front leg backwards. So it really was more of a straight cross that caught Paris coming in. And one of the things I said to Dylan McGrath, Dylan interviewed me before the show, and he thought, you know, how does Paris win this fight? And the key to winning was not being stylistic. You know, like if Paris has a core, you would say, oh, it's going to be his Muay Thai. That's the core. But the way to win the fight is to start there, but turn this fight into a dynamic fight. Fight in the clinch range, fight in the long range, fight with punches, fight with kicks, move to the left, move to the right. And the only trick to that is just being first. Being first. And like anything else, you know, your fight IQ doesn't get better because you become more intelligent one day. Your fight IQ gets better because you practice it. Your jab gets better because you practice it. You know, your takedowns get better because you practice it. And so if you're going to fight a true mixed martial arts fight because you have to keep it moving and getting off first, then you have to practice that. And so it was quite evident that that didn't happen. Not with a guy like Jonathan Martin, just being able to get off first. Relative to Paris' size, because you heard me bring up that comment, that's why he needed to be so diverse in his movement and his dynamics, so that he wouldn't get trapped. He would have to spend more time up front in the beginning, bringing Jonathan's conditioning and athleticism down to a point where it's more normalized. And then you can go into a systematic style, something that you're known for, something that you like doing. But you start out just getting a feel, a measure of who you're in there with. And then you've got to just make up your mind at some point and say, okay, I've got to go and I've got to stay on the go. And it didn't happen. And Jonathan was able to apply what he does best, and that's contact. Does a really good job in contact range. And we saw George Copa defeat Isaiah Monroe and proved George Copa. Just like I said, he was going to be improved. He had Thomas Gant in his corner, which means he has got somebody in there, the NC State coach and the wrestling team. He is showing this guy how to now apply, which I thought was appropriate, apply the grappling elements related to mixed martial arts. He's not teaching him to become an NCAA wrestler. He's showing him the things that are relevant to MMA. Thomas just turned pro himself. He's had five or six amateur championships, fights and two amateur championships, I want to say. Definitely one. I know that for certain. So we're not talking about a guy who's surprised or shocked. You know, we're talking about a guy who knows what he's doing. And but Copa was able to not only, you know, demonstrate his striking, but he actually took down Isaiah Monroe on several occasions and defended the takedown on several occasions and was able to pop back up. It was quite impressive, not necessarily shocking, because I've seen him do that with Gabriel Brown, but just impressive, simply impressive. I don't know if I would want to see Copa, the new improved Copa, take on Jonathan Martin, since they've already fought and Martin easily defeated him in round one, and Copa defeated Isaiah Monroe's not necessarily a true 45er. The issue I'm having with Isaiah Monroe at 55 is the fact that this is not his first time doing this. So I think this is his second, third time being a 55er. If he keeps on doing it, his body's going to have a hard time going back down to 45, making that cut. Your timing changes according to, you know, the weight you tend to stay at for the longest period of time. There's usually, you can probably do okay if you're in a window where there's fluctuation. It's just hard when you solidify and say, I'm this for a long period of time. It's hard to keep cutting that weight, and it's hard to have great performances. But George Copa looked good too. Carolina Combat Sports did have another fight. It was Ali Asbarkov taking on Mark Foster. This was an outstanding fight. Round two was probably the best round between both of them. You had Ali's winning the first half of the round and Mark Foster taking the second half of the round. Foster tried to come in strong with some dynamic strikes, using his range, using his length. Ultimately ended that round by taking the back. So you can make an argument, yeah, that was Foster's round, but I pretty much thought it was an even round, or you could argue the point of it being Ali. And then ultimately Mark was the one to get the decision, and we chopped it up afterwards, and let's take a listen to what he had to say. Very honest guy. I like how open he is. All right, let's take a listen.
All right, Matt Worlds, Matt Coach, here with Mark Foster, coming off a victorious win tonight at Fight For It 20. Mark, give me the lowdown. How do you feel right now?
I feel concussed. That's a word I would use.
Did he land anything significant? You know, I know concussed means significant, but what was it, if you remember, if you can remember?
He had me pretty hurt in the second round. I think he caught me with a nice right hook to the chin. And then he also, you know, I don't want to snitch on him, but, you know, he caught me with a good front kick to the face, which is illegal in the amateurs. But, I mean, hey, like, I'm not going to complain.
There seemed to be a split mindset when it came to the round two. It looked like he won first half and you won the second half. How did you feel about that round? I thought it was a draw, but how did you feel about it?
Man, honestly, I'd give it to him, to be honest. I'd give it to him. I know I had the ground control at the end. You know, that'll play a big factor in the judge's decision, but, you know, he was winning the fight on the feet.
Hey, do we have any wrestling before, you know, all of this? Are you like a wrestler?
No, I have a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, and I work on my wrestling, but I didn't wrestle in high school or anything.
Okay, I mean, it looked pretty good, but where do you get that moneymaker in that right hand from?
Just God-given, you know?
I thought I seen a video where you had, like, brothers or a younger brother, somebody you was training with. Is that, like, a relative doing this, basically the same type of right hand?
I'm not really sure what you're referring to.
Something I saw on YouTube. But I thought it was, like, your brother or somebody you were training with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was just an old friend of mine named Daniel. Okay. On my YouTube, yeah. Yeah, we were just sparring, and that was back in the day, a few years ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, round one, it was kind of decided that you had round one. Long range, was that the game plan?
Yeah, I knew we did a lot of studying. We watched all of his fights over and over again. And pretty much I just wanted to intercept his kicks with punches, and I ended up doing that a few times. And I had him hurt there in the first round. I got a little bit too zealous and not – kind of got out of position looking for the finish, and you know, I couldn't get him out of there, but you know, he's a tough opponent.
Yeah, your positioning is one of your strongest attributes, and in round one you were resetting quicker, but round two you seem to be like sliding behind just a little bit. Were you getting fatigued?
Yeah, I definitely was getting fatigued, and I was getting hurt, you know. That was my first full fight, really. You know, that was my first fight, I'd say. You know, the other two, like, you know.
What about the wall pressure? Did you feel it when he pushed up against that cage?
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's something we've worked a lot. Me and one of my coaches, Z. Yeah, we worked a lot of wall work. We knew once I landed, he was going to try to take me down because, you know, I do hit pretty hard.
Yeah, his corner from the outside was like forward, 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 pressure, pressure, pressure. And talking to his coach earlier, they wanted to see how you would deal with the pressure. What do you rate yourself as far as dealing with that pressure tonight?
I know I could have done so much better. And honestly, like, I'm proud of myself that I didn't give up and, you know, I ended up winning the fight. But I know I could have done a lot better in a lot of ways.
Yeah, everybody was behind you. That was an amazing fight.
And from my perspective, I think the unknown factor was how good you were actually on the ground, considering what their gym is known for.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that was definitely a big motivating factor, just knowing that, you know, he's coming from Carolina Combat, one of the biggest gyms in North Carolina. I'm coming from a small gym, Moreno, BJJ, and New Bern. You know, just being able to come out here and get a W over a big gym like that, it's a really big deal in my town.
How many fans did you bring with you tonight?
Probably around 20 people. Yeah.
Nice. And so, what's the ambition for the next one?
You know, I'm really not thinking about the next one right now. But you know, I'm definitely looking to get back in here soon.
Have you had any calls from any other promotions like UBG or any of the other regional ones?
Yeah, I almost took a fight for UBG back in March, but there was just like a weight issue, so I had to take a step back, and I took this fight here for Fight For It. I think Fight For It's definitely the premier MMA promotion in North Carolina. So, you know, I would like to fight a few more times for Fight For It.
And just one more question is Houseland building up any other guys outside of you to help get you ready for anything?
Oh yeah, we got a lot. We got tons of talented guys over at Moreno BJJ, Tedrick Patterson, Joshua Barclay, tons of just raw talent, raw athleticism that we're just honing in, and we're just building a good fight culture over in New Bern, North Carolina.
Outstanding. Well, all I can say is congratulations again. Keep doing what you're doing. Easily becoming one of my favorites. I like the fact that do you study the fight game any?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I could tell a little bit. Like, you got a little reckless at one point, but then you got your composure back, and then that's when I knew you were okay.
Yeah, I watched the fight back already, and, bro, I look like, excuse my language, but I look like dog shit out there, guys. I could do so much better than that.
Once you match the conditioning with what you want to do in the fight, because a lot of people think they're the same, they're not the same.
Yeah.
Once you figure that out, you'll have it. I got all kinds of faith in you. But I appreciate the interview, and we'll chit-chat later. Where do I find you the most?
Huh?
Where do I find you? Instagram?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. If you make another video about me, you can find me on YouTube. You know, you'll find me in your comment section.
I'll break this one down for you.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Thank you. All right, Mark. I like Mark. I love his honesty. Damn, for a kid so young, it's kind of refreshing to get that. He said he was a little bit of concussed, and I did see that he was focused but distracted. So I just made a suggestion that, hey, go to the hospital if you need to. Go see the doc, especially if you have like any, you know, follow up pains, severe headaches, blurred vision, anything that's impacting, anything that wasn't part of you before the fight. You should go see the doctor. Young Alex Paez, who's the younger brother of the renowned Paez brothers, Drew Paez and Jacob Paez. Now we have Alex, and I made a joke saying we're going to look up, it's going to be 10 of them, but somebody assured me it's only 3 of them. The Paez brothers went 3-0. The Paez brothers went 3-0. And the younger brother won in kickboxing, and Drew beat Pat Bird from Team Rock, incredible team name. And Jacob defended his 55 title and defeated Shaquan Oliver from Elevate MMA, very credible team name. I'm making this point because the Paez brothers have been looked at as being delusional. Then they started winning fights. Then they were looked at as jokes. And I kept saying, I don't think they're jokes. I don't buy into the shtick. It's like Kobe Covington does his whole shtick about, you know, being over, what's that phrase they use in acting? is where you're going overboard. I forget the actual phrase, but you're going overboard in your persona. And I knew, now, don't get me wrong, if they buy into, you know, some of the stuff they're doing, by the time they turn 25, 30, it will start to take effect. Just like it took some time for it to happen to Colby Covington and slowed him down a little bit. But there's a point where you have to fight. Yeah, you can have the routines. You know, you can have the personas and, you know, the image, but you got to be able to fight. And right now, the Baez brothers are fighting. They're fighting. And somebody made a good comment last night with the younger Baez. Just looking at him, he said, what are the Baez brothers so angry about? You know, I thought that was so appropriate in terms of describing all three of them. Little Alex went in and he was a whirlwind. He was a whirlwind. And he just kept going forward, kept going forward, kept going forward. I'm going to play you my thoughts of him. This is me watching the fight. I thought at some point, like he was winning the fight. I was like, okay, he's going to win this fight. And, but this is me looking at him, analyzing his style. So let's take a quick listen to that.
So what the younger Paez brother does very well is he has very strong power in his right hand, backs the guy up very well, and he's got good first timing. Really good first timing, but he's still undisciplined in his movement, which could be refined a little bit in the next year or two.
So just looking at his style, I was like, yeah, you know, a lot of potential, very committed to whatever strikes he throws, just like his brothers. Big brother Drew was more composed this type in his fight tonight. Very composed, didn't make any mistakes, didn't hit anybody behind the head, didn't get into an argument with the referee, proved that he was just a better fighter, and that's all he's ever needed to do, and just stay on that track, you know, just go ahead and be the better fighter. And got to talk to, I think it was their uncle behind the scenes. You know, he was like, even he was like letting me know, man, these are really good kids. And they are, man. They are. They're really cordial. And they can rub people wrong because you understand where they're coming from. Look at the work, man. If you got to deal with the Paez brothers, because they mentioned they might be going to Battleborn, and I'm going to play that interview in just a second. But if they go over there, you know, look at the work ethic. You know, if anybody comes into your organization and creates a disruption, I get it. I get it. Get them out of there. But if they're adding to what you're doing, and just because it's a little unique and unorthodox, if they're adding to what you're doing, then don't get offended by it, because it's not the normal course of action that you would take. It's not the choice that you would take. Sometimes you have to look at someone and say, hey, let's let them keep doing what they're doing until it doesn't work. And you should not care one way or another. If it doesn't work, then you say, okay, you tried it your way. Now here's the way I want you to try it. So you win there. And if it works, one less thing you're teaching, one less thing you're training, one less thing you're spending 20, 30 minutes on a day, because it's worked. Had a fighter named Josh Steele, kind of reminds me of the Paez brothers, but with a little bit more composure. But still, Steele was a kid, you know, young, 17, kind of wild, energetic, and he would bounce and move around with his hands down. And in the gym, I would tell other fighters, hey, keep your hands up. And they would go, hey, you don't tell Steele to keep his hands up. And I replied, Steele doesn't get hit. That was the key. Steele didn't get hit. So if the Paez brothers do something just a little awkward, just a little bit different, man, ride with it until it doesn't work. And, you know, I said how good that the Paez brothers are. Drew came in. Drew was a striker tonight. I mean, he had a lot of groundwork, but he was a striker tonight. And Jacob pretty much was a grappler tonight. And he ended up finishing his opponent like a modified knee bar variation. And it just goes to show, man, that they have skill, they have talent. And let's take a quick listen to the interview with Alex. You really get some insights about this guy, and I got nothing but high expectations for all three of the brothers.
All right, Mad Worlds, Miko Sess, I'm here with Alex Pius. He's just coming off victory tonight by unanimous decision, his first kickboxing fight, and he's on the same card with his brothers. How does that feel, by the way?
It's a good opportunity. I'm very excited. It was a good opportunity to fight with them on the same card.
Good. And you just told me this is your first fight, first experience.
And fight for it. I had one fight in Waco, USA, the Nationals.
Oh, yeah?
Florida in February.
How did that fight go?
It was good. I went out swinging the first two rounds. In the third round, I didn't prepare for cardio correctly. So I gassed out, and I lost the last round, and that lost the fight for me.
Gotcha. And we were worried, a couple fans sitting in the audience, we were worried about your conditioning, but like you held it all together.
Yeah.
Anything the opponent did to you that bothered you, caught you with something?
The body kicks. I wanted to be aware of those because I saw them training with them, and the knees in the clinch. I didn't want to get in the clinch with them. That's why I wanted to keep my space.
Oh, good strategy. That's one of my observations about you and your brothers. Like, you guys are really good strategists. You guys watch a lot of fights. How are you figuring this stuff out?
Yeah, I watch UFC events like every Saturday. UFC 301, 300, every event whenever they're live. I watch them every Saturday.
Any favorite fighter?
Sean Strickland.
Sean Strickland?
Yeah, Sean
Strickland. Yeah, I saw that in your movement.
Yeah.
Any aspirations? Like a UFC or something down the line?
Yeah, I'll be there soon.
Okay.
Maybe I might do bare knuckle. I don't know. I'm just going to see what goes for me. I might do bare knuckle.
And you consider yourself a mixed martial arts fighter, or right now you just focus on kickboxing?
Right now I'm a striker.
Just a striker right now?
Yeah, right now striker.
Do you get to grapple any with your brothers?
Yeah, we're going to go to Battleborn, the gym, and we're going to actually start doing no-gi jiu-jitsu.
Good. Yeah, your brothers are talented, so I believe it's all in the genes. What's next after this fight tonight? You know?
Probably another kickboxing fight. Maybe two, three more. Then I'm going to try to get an MMA.
Any with Fight for Red or any other particular shows, have they reached out?
No, not yet.
Because I know what's the show? Lightning Strikes is in August. Mm-hmm. I believe UBG, they got some stuff here in between.
Yeah, I might do UBG.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay. And what has your training been like? I know since you fixed it, the last one you said you fixed your cardio, but what's training been like?
Two times a day, like 2.5 hours each session. I wake up 4:30, start training 5. With Drew, we go to Matrix. We run like 4 miles. We do sprints. We do some weight training, and we do hit the pads after that in the octagon.
Are you guys outside of one another, you sparring with any of the guys?
Yeah, all the guys at the Matrix.
Good. How do you?
Saturday, well, Sundays.
You hold your own with them?
Yeah, I use my own style. I trick them up. They really don't know what I'm going to do.
How did you develop that style, by the way?
Just being a little playful with my training, I really adapted to it. It's kind of fun fighting now.
And you're really fun with the spinning back punches. How did you come up with
that? Yeah, I like that. I use it a lot, but one time I did it with my brother training, and I hit his elbow and messed my hand up.
Gotcha.
I couldn't feel my hand for like a month.
Gotcha.
So I kind of cut them down a little bit.
I
tried to use my boxing fundamentals.
Were y'all going to back to the hotel or something? I think they waiting on you.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. Go somewhere.
But I'll at least tell Doc Clinton, make sure you see him before tonight. I'll put your name in his ear so he can take a look at your hand. It might not be anything. It could be just sore.
Yeah.
Let me see it.
This one right here.
Yeah, it's just probably sore because there's no swelling, which is a good thing.
Like right there. That's exactly where I hit Drew's elbow with my hand.
Could be a residual impact, but make sure you see the doc for tonight. So, hey, man, it's been great talking to you, man. I hope we do this again and a little bit longer because this is going to be a part of a longer. I'm going to try to get clips from everybody and make this like a one-hour deal, but you're on your way, man.
Yes, sir.
You're on your way. I like that.
Okay, so breaking. I just got a nice clip sent to me from D. Reddick, The Revenant. He was at the show. Oh my God, before I even get to this clip, man, they had a kid on their team. Oh my God. Modern Warrior. They're the first guy that fought. He lost by decision, but even he was like super talented, squirmy with another squirmy guy. They were all over the place with their submissions. And I was like, man, they're just getting in and out of stuff. But that fight was a good fight. I have to get the names. But there was a second guy, and this Mamma Jamma was a monster. looked to be about 170 pounds. This Mamma Jamma was a monster. And I was able to talk to Keith. And I said, Keith, where you hiding these guys at? He says, I'm always got something working, coach. I'm always got something working. Yes, indeed. I mean, this was a monster. And, you know, it's the crazy part about it. Like, I think of D. Reddick and Travis Snyder as the monsters. And they got this other dude over there. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But nonetheless, D just tagged me in a clip. Because what happened last night when Jacob won, defended his title. Let's call it what it was. He defended his title. And he got on the microphone. Now, I couldn't hear it clearly because the room was a big room and the sound didn't dissipate. So it bounces off the walls and comes back. So it makes everything sound a little bit muffled. The people on the broadcast probably heard it a lot better. But apparently he called out, Jacob Baez called out D. Reddick again. And he's been asking for this fight. I did an interview with him. He said he brought up the Revenant's name. And he has been on other podcasts and he keeps bringing up the Revenant's name. Even in his own Facebook post, I've seen him bring up the Revenant's name. Is this fight going to happen? We don't know. But Reddick had something to say. I don't have my phone plugged in, but I'm going to hold the phone close to my mic and hopefully we can hear it.
Okay. This is a little bit different post than what I usually do, but I got to address some things that happened and went down over at Fight 420 yesterday. Shout out to Marcelo Rodriguez and the whole Fight 4 team. The card's absolutely amazing. Christian McCray versus Dakota Gray is my fight of the night. By the way, absolutely electric. But as you guys know, I was once again called out by our favorite person, Jacob El Tortuga Pies. And this kid's been calling me out since September. But this guy doesn't want this, man. He's been calling me out since September of last year. I didn't even know who this kid was. He just found me. And to be truthful, he's starting to back up his stuff. But in reality, he's still just a Temu version of Chael Sonnen. You see, you go on all these podcasts. You go on Coach Sess and you ask for a fight with me. You go on Chris DiCarlo's podcast and you ask for a fight with me. But in reality, you don't want these hands and you don't want this pressure. I have the DMs to prove it. Don't test me. I'll put them out there. I don't know what you want, but you're on my mind now. You got my attention and you can't keep running. Now, I do hear that Marcelo is cooking up something in September. So if you want it, prove to all these people that you can take this all away from me and my team. I don't think you can, but you're a little delusional. You think you can? Prove it. If you think you can do it, September is your last chance. I'm not waiting on you anymore. I've been waiting on you for a year to try to set this fight up. September, me and you, take the fight. It doesn't even have to be for the belt. I just want to bounce your head off of the canvas repeatedly. That's it. You can keep the belt if you want to. I don't really care about that. All I got to say is, if you miss out on September, this is your last chance. Come get this ass whooping. We are handing him out over a Modern Warrior. Also, shout out to Jordan Bennett and his brother, man, for this shirt. The Tortuga Hunting. This thing is clean. If you want to get one, hit me up. We got the plug for it. But, Jacob, I'm waiting, dog. I'm waiting. What you going to do? Hey, everyone. It's D.
You know what? I'm loving this. I'm telling you, I love fighters who put it on the line. And I'm a fan. I'm a support both of them. You know, if I got to buy a t-shirt, if I got to pay for their monthly dues for the camp or whatever, I don't know what I got to do, but I'm going to be a part of it. You know, if I got to help sell tickets and promote the show, I want to be a part of it because I love people who put it on the line and don't back down, don't make excuses. And I don't have to have a winner or a loser. I don't have to have a favorite. I was talking to Tom Ziegler about that last night. You know what I have? I have the industry. I want to see the industry get better. That's awesome. D. Reddick is saying, hey, man, you got until September to make this fight. And let me tell you why that's intelligent. Let me tell you why that's important. Because fights lose flavor. Fights lose flavor. First, when it first comes up, and it sounds like a great idea, and if it falls through, then it's like, well, it's a secondary idea. By the time it gets to be a third and a fourth idea, it's like, it's not as tasty as it was when it first came up. Didn't have that same feel, didn't have the same zest, the same pop. So you can't wait, but for so long. Paris Artis and Jonathan Martin was the same way. I felt like, hey, this is not a mid-card fight. And then you have to back that up. If it's not a mid-card fight and it's a main event fight, then it's got to have the feel and the excitement of being a main event fight. And if it is, then you've got to show and prove. And they did that last night. Well, this fight is the same way. You've got to show and prove. I think that these two amateurs, without a pro fight, they could carry the card because the hype is there, because the, you know, animosity, so to speak, is there, because the skill is there. And the last two performances, if you have not been able to see D. Reddick, the Revenant, take on Sam Klepak, oh my God, it was in Conflict 61. That fight alone is worth getting the pay-per-view. Download it, you know, whatever it takes, however they stream it, it's worth your $20. And El Tortuga just coming off against Q with a submission win in defense of his title against a team known for their submissions, against a team known for being able to defend a lot of things, and he was able to get that win. He had Q in trouble a few times, but Q had him in trouble with a few guillotines himself. Jacob Paez was in the right fight. He got challenged, he got pushed, and he was able to weather the storm and come out aggressive, come out on top. The Paez brothers were 3-0. That, to me, is impressive as anything. I saw teams like Team Rock went 0-3. Didn't anybody get finished, but they went 0-3. I saw Matrix and May have their ups and downs, which I was pleased about. Talk about Rose, my man. All right. But, you know, I honestly do like coaches having adversity because it matures them. Hometown MMA at a previous show, some Rock Fighting Championships, they had their ups and downs. And they bounced back last night. They bounced back with a darn good fight, too, for however long it lasted. But it was darn good. And you have to have those ups and downs if you want to grow as coaches. And I'm trying to think who else. Immortality's MMA, I think they were clean sweep, but it was in boxing. And I had to put that one on the back burner for a minute. I said, I don't know about them boxing. The return of Zion Bailey to fight for it the last time he fought Dakota Gray. Dakota Gray went on to become the champion last night against Kristen McCray. And that, D. Reddick just said, easily could be picked as fight of the night. Zion Bailey, he and I talked about that fight. And I was wondering, could that be, you know, a fight made for the future, him, possibly Christopher McCray, even him and Dakota Gray, a rematch. Let me play you that that little bit of a clip. Before I play that clip, I do want you to hear this, something that the commentators were saying about his fight, because the interview came after. I actually like this commentary because it's indicative of all the issues that a lot of the fighters are having. Brent Childers having this problem in the knees, in the clinch. Guys just aren't working it. Guys just really need to get back to the basics and work the clinch. And not just the clinch, but the basics, because that's something I've been saying probably for the last week and a half now. I'm noticing, because I get to go to so many gyms and I get to study so much film locally, I'm seeing guys getting away from not working the basics. They're falling in love with all the fancier techniques. At some point in time, you have to have a core set of movements. But let's check out what the commentators say. Here's Dylan McGrath and Icy Mike.
Second round in the books. Closer round. Zion Bailey looks like he just woke up. He's not a whole different demeanor. He's so calm and relaxed.
He's so calm.
Like, very, very, very chilled out. Very, like, seems like he's at the office. Seems like he's in his element. Locked in, as the kids say.
This is the best Zion Bailey that we've seen so far.
100%. I couldn't agree more with you. You know, I know people who love this kid a lot and respect him and like him as a training partner, and they've always told me about, you know, that we could see more out of him, and we're finally starting to see it. It looks like
the only weakness he had was his issues in the clinch, and he's mitigated that.
At least he's got a place that he's looking to get to. Now, when he comes up against a strong clinch fighter,
that'll be the next big test.
A new challenge. You know?
Yeah, that'll be the next big test. Still.
So you heard them right there saying once he runs into a clinch fighter, and that's so indicative of, like I said, a lot of the issues that quite a few teams seem to have. They haven't worked in all areas of the combat sport that they're training. They haven't investigated in changing the pace, changing the ranges, being able to change the direction of the fight in terms of whether you're southpaw or orthodox. When you're studying a fighter, there may be things that take you outside of your comfort zone if you want to win. You're going to have to do things a little bit differently. And it's okay, because if you have the time, the real key is, can you do things differently skillfully? If you can do it differently skillfully and you have the time, do it. Don't take a chance. And so was able to talk to Zion and really learn a few things about him that I liked. And even threw my name in the ring saying, I'm one of those people that can help you. So let's take a listen to that interview.
And I warned him too.
Yeah, well, that kicks don't feel good at all.
No, definitely not.
All right. So I got Zion, what's your last name?
Bailey.
Zion Bailey. Yes, that's crazy that I read all that and then I forget it in the moment. Matt Coach here with Zion Bailey, coming off a victorious day here at Fight for It 20. How you feel about it?
I feel great. Getting a little more confident, learning a little more every day. Every time I come out here, I'm learning something different. Got a lot to learn, so it's just a blessing just to be out here and just, you know, get the opportunity to get better.
Now, Tahkir,
I feel great.
Walker's a veteran, so to speak. You know, he do anything that you had never seen before, shock you?
Not really. I will say everything he did, I definitely, you know, that fight with Dakota last time taught me a lot.
Mm.
A lot. I will rewatch that fight still and just take notes and just, like, you know, study it. I learned so much in that fight, but he didn't really surprise me with anything, but he did hit me with a good leg kick to the body that I felt. Probably one of the first leg kicks I felt that hit me in the body that was very flush, very clean leg kick, now or with, body kick.
With Dakota coming off a win tonight himself, becoming the champ, any chance of a rematch between you two?
I mean, I would love to. I'm always game. You know, it's up to Marcelo. I would love to, though. Mm-hmm. And Christian, too, man, or McCray. He's great. And I feel like me and his styles would clash because we both like to throw hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be entertaining for everybody else. And it would just be a fun fight.
And how tall are you? You got good height.
6 feet and half an inch.
Nice.
Exactly.
If you had to describe your style, what would it be?
My coach said patois, which is like a Jamaican, it's like brawler.
Mm-hmm.
Just like to go in there and just, just brawl, man. If I can, if I got someone out there that's not going to stare at me and wants to brawl with me, I'll brawl with you. I like that. It's fun. But at the same time, I like to be able to adapt and adjust. But like I said, I feel like I'm so new to it that I don't really have a style yet. I still have so much to figure out with the fighting.
How many fights is this for you now?
My record right now is 4-3 with the 5-4, but I've done probably like 4 boxing matches. You know, the PKBs, like the contact ones, probably done like 6 or 7 of those. But
so you really are getting that experience in.
Yeah.
Any direction to go to MMA or anything like that?
I want to strike. I want to master striking. I don't want to give myself – I'm not a very I don't want to bite too much. Bite more than I can chew. I want to learn striking and get my body used to it so that my mind doesn't have to do so much thinking. And then once my body knows what I need to do, then I'll consider moving into MMA. But I really want to get good at striking. I just like it so much. So.
Outside of McCray, you see any other guys on the card that not necessarily in your weight class, but any styles that impressed you?
I wasn't watching many other fights today, man. I was locked in up there.
Nothing wrong with being honest.
But just the McCray and Dakota's fight's the only one I really paid attention to, man. That was such a good fight, too.
It was. It was a couple of other undercard fights that I liked, too. Bigger guys, but they were pretty good. Who is your coach and your team?
So, I'm kind of in limbo right now. I was fighting out of Southern Pines. Originally started training with Dale Fry. He showed me kickboxing for about 2 years. Or no, not kickboxing. He showed me boxing for about 2 years. And then he started showing me boxing within this last, like, almost a year now. And we were fighting at this, like, personal trainer's gym. I wasn't really around other competitors. I was actually teaching other people how to fight. And then I was sparring with Dale. And, you know, Dale's great, but I got that youth.
Right.
I'm a lot quicker. So I've recently moved out of my town. I'm trying to figure out. Trying to find a gym now, actually, where I'm around people that are a lot better than me. I want to rise up to the occasion. So.
Hey, maybe you hit me up. I can plug you in. I know just about all the coaches, and if I don't know the gym to go to, they know the gym to go to.
So I'm in Wilmington right now, figuring out. I'm just checking the gyms out while I'm staying with my friends, and I've got a gym in Apex. You know, Don Roger. They want me there. I love that gym. That was like perfect for me. But I'm in Wilmington right now, and the more I'm in Wilmington, the more I'm falling in love with it. I've checked out Port City MMA. That was a pretty good gym.
Did they change over from Port City Boxing? They used to be Port City Boxing.
They're Port City MMA now, and they were like the Salty Dog in Jiu-Jitsu. They're both of those.
Okay.
And then I'm going to check out Brunswick's gym.
Brunson's
gym. Yeah. And I'm going to check out Champions while I'm there in Wilmington.
Brunson's cousins have an extensive background, and they run a lot of courses there. Yeah, so you'll be in good hands with them.
Okay, cool.
They're always chasing the finish. You know, I think that's your style, is whether it goes the distance or not, chase the finish, because you'll get the result you're looking for one way or the other. All right. Anything for me?
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate your dedication to coming out and checking out those guys who are new to it and, you know, have passion for it. We appreciate your passion.
How many fans do you think you brought tonight?
A lot of my fans showed up late, man. They missed most of my fight, but they caught it on video. But probably wasn't too many tonight.
Tell me the number.
10 or 11.
I'm going to get that to 25 the next time.
25?
I don't care where you at. I'm going to get it to 25.
All right. Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate it.
Hey, hit me up, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You always find me, Seth Stevenson or Matt Coach. You'll find me one way or another. Any questions? Any ideas? Like I said, you travel in circles. I'll be able to plug you in with somebody.
Okay, you know. I'll hit you up for sure, man. Appreciate
it. And if you even back in the area for whatever reason, you know, maybe come hang out at my gym with the guys or whatever.
And Raleigh?
Fayetteville.
Cool.
But I know Raleigh gyms. Elevate is in Durham. Fuquay is Shell Shock BJJ. And we're all, and they've been doing a lot of kickboxing there too. So we've got a lot of guys everywhere, you know.
Cool, man.
All right, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so I pulled my notes up, and I'm looking at some of the names of the teams that fought, and so that was Zion Bailey. Keep an eye out for him. He took on Tykira Walker, and Tykira's not bad himself, man. Adrian De La Cruz, he fought Hudson Reynolds from 4M Fitness. That was a good fight. And Hudson was a little down on himself, but I was like, nah, man, that was a good fight. Christian McCray and Dakota Gray. Definitely probably the fight of the night. It just had the championship mindset behind it. That's what made it important. Two guys who kind of deserve it, you know. And that's how you kind of look at it. McCray came in undefeated. You know, Dakota was 2-0 as an adult. You know, he had fought before that as a kid. But I don't think you just keep packing on those numbers, you know. Let's see, what else did we have in that kickboxing? I didn't watch everything. I'm going to have to go back. Oh, by the way, the feed is up. So check it out before they take it down, because they do have, you know, music that's by different record companies, and record companies are getting funky right now in terms of, I'm going to take the music down because, or I'm going to block it. So you'll either have to, you'll either get a feed with no sound, or you'll get like the feed taken down altogether. So go to Fight For It's YouTube page and you can catch the kickboxing portion, which was the prelims, and you can see some of these good fights. Some of the fights that didn't happen, which I don't know why. CJ Morrison from Modern Warrior, that would have been fun. Of course, the fight that I definitely wanted to see was over in the MMA division. That fight was not done, and that would have been Gutierrez against Blevins. I hope that gets remade somewhere. Even if that's on a different promotion, I might have to go to that show just to see that fight. Modern Warrior had the two guys I was mentioning earlier, and Aziz Azami, and the real monster at 170 was Amir Haynes. That dude is going to be a he was making his debut against a Roland Claytor. Is that Claytor or Clayton? No, it's Claytor. Out of Fit for Life. Fit for Life. I'm not familiar with that gym. Anybody know it, hit me up. Let me know. Michael DeLozier out of Elevate MMA was able to stop Josh Fuller from Matrix MMA. Josh has got to work on that grappling. Got to work on the grappling. Makes a difference, ladies and gentlemen. It makes a difference when you don't have one of the skill sets that you need. It makes a huge difference. But again, Isaiah Monroe lost to George Copa. George Copa coming in 3-3, now leads 4-3, and Isaiah is now 3-1 as a pro. Paris Arsh drops to 6-2, and Jonathan Barton goes up to 6-2 as a pro. So, you know, when it comes to these pro fights, you can ask yourself, if these guys fought 100 times, who wins the majority of the fights? You know, with a mind shift, a change in their thinking, a change in their training, artist wins 100% of the time, or at least 90% of the time at this point now. With a shift for Monroe, Monroe's thinking was he was going to go in there and have a kickboxing fight. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. But if he can, if he can find someone to take charge, he doesn't need good people around him. He doesn't need good friends. He needs someone to be able to tell him the truth and take charge. And then he would win 90% of the time against a George Copa. Did get a interesting text from Chris Stansel, who's always a fight fan. And so apparently Tommy Cousy beat Theo Arleyang over at Ultimate Battlegrounds last night. And he was saying, hey, what about Martin versus Cousy? Don't know if that fight would happen. You get comfortable in your own space sometimes. And so that fight probably wouldn't happen if it was on a UBG card. But if Cousy did take that fight against Martin, the title would be on the line. That fight should be done in Charlotte. It would be a headliner. It would be a headliner, and it would represent itself as a good challenge locally for Martin, but the issue is all the other stuff that Martin has going on with Fury fighting and potentially Uridium, his agency, who is known to get people into the UFC. So he would have a lot of moving parts and that would delay that fight. But if it could happen, if the schedule was clear and both guys were free to fight, that would be a good fight. But in Charlotte. George Copa against Paris Artis. Yes, that would be a good fight. Monroe against Arlie Yang. Yes, that would be a good fight. Motzinger against Michael Hall. I don't know. We'll have to see. The submission game wouldn't be there. It would probably lean toward Michael Hall, but we'd have to see. And maybe a Gabriel Brown coming back, filling in the blanks for some of these, maybe against Martin. We'll have to see. Like I said, Martin's biggest issue now is just having credible competition filling in the blanks. I said this to Shamik. Same thing for you. Credible competition filling in the blanks, either because of size, weight class, or guys don't have the experience. And North Carolina's bad about it. North Carolina has been bad about it for years. We don't fill all the ranks. But that was my recap of Fight For It, number 20. And I'll have some more things to say as they come to me for tomorrow. But as of now, I've got to get out of here. I am Coach Sess, and you've had words with the Mad Coach.